Hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes. Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
We get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawke, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Oh, there we go.
Cool, there you are.
Yeah. Great.
Let's do it.
Consequence Podcast Network. And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here, for checking out the episodes. Of course, you know what to do. If you like what you see, what you hear, hit that subscribe button. You'll get three new interviews just like this sent your way every single week. New and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Makes it a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover the new ones at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe Kyle Meredith With. Also, please do give the show a rating. Leave a review if you feel so inspired. We've had some great guests on lately. Comedian Ali Sadiq was just here. Kim Gordon of Sonic Youth. Mike Campbell from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Actor Jeff Daniels. Mark Oliver Everett from Eels. Derek Trucks. Carly Pierce. Director Richard Linklater. Adria Arjona. Sal Vulcano from Impractical Jokers. Brandi Carlile. Ani DeFranco. Maya Hawke. Caleb Folliwell of Kings of Leon. And Tadanobu Asano from Shogun on FX. Just an example of what you can find when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, hanging out with the band Wallows. That's Dylan Minnette, Braden LeMasters, Cole Preston, back with their third album called Model. They say it feels like their most freeing album yet. We're going to hear all about that. They'll take us through how this collection does feel like a reaction to 2022's Tell Me That It's Over, recording with John Congleton once again. He did their first album. And the lyrical paintings of heartbreak and infatuation that seem to weave throughout. The LA Trio will also reveal a bit about the amount of songs that were left off the record, including a few they say were some of their best songs, probably fated to find their way out sometime in the future, as well as reminiscing on covering B-sides from The Strokes and their earlier iteration, and how the song Bad Dream started as an homage to boy bands like NSYNC before trying it as a T-Rex-style rocker during their previous album sessions to eventually the West Coast psych style that they landed on for this LP. All that and more, we're talking Model. It's Kyle Meredith with Wallows.
How's it going?
What's up?
The third album, album number three. You know, I say this a lot of times. You like a band, you start to invest, your emotions into them, and nothing is guaranteed. So it's always a relief when they come back with a strong new record. And I just want to say congratulations off the bat.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm really happy it resonates with you.
That's it. I mean, you get the debut and the sophomore album out of the way, and you all have been a band for much longer than those records. So you've probably been several different bands throughout your life. But what does it mean now to, because for a lot of artists, like album number three is the one where you sort of prove, you know, like this is who we can be, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. I feel like the debut album always felt like this thing you're working towards as a band when you first start, and because, you know, it's the first one, you don't have an album out yet, so it always feels like you have your whole life to kind of write it, you know. That's what they say, even though it wasn't our first like project, because we had singles and some EPs and stuff, but or an EP, but the third album definitely feels like, it almost weirdly feels like the most freeing album to make, because you do have like a like a history to look back on, and you kind of know where you've been as a band, so you kind of know where you want to go a little easy, like a little more. And you feel like you can easily challenge people that listen to you, as well as we wanted to make a very enjoyable, easy listening album in one sense as well. Like you could just put it on and just listen to it, not overly challenge someone, but also be challenging as well. So yeah, it is freeing, I'd say, the third album.
It's not confusing at all. It's
I try to speak in what am I impossible Yes.
that's the other thing, right? Because for a lot of artists, especially like every new album, in some sense, is a reaction to the previous album. Like, because we always talk about going forward and being, not the same thing or whatever. Like, I don't know if that holds true. Is that the same thing? Because this doesn't sound like the last record, but it's still like it has that sound, that wallow sound that's there.
Yeah, I think you, that's a great point. I've never really, I think you just like reduced our feelings down from one
You're
to
welcome.
nothing.
That's
You just,
great.
yeah, thank you, Kyle. But yeah, it's like with this record, I think we actively wanted to approach it differently than we did our last. Tell Me That It's Over, our second record, we did sort of like sporadically throughout 10, 11 months and like worked on it sort of like a little bit at a time and like really spent a lot of time on each song, kind of overthinking and just trying stuff and like different versions and styles. Like, and I think that like that yielded something cool for us and something different. But we then going into our third record reacted to that and we're like, okay, let's like try and do this quick. Let's do a lot of songs. Let's like not overthink, like go more like lean and mean compared to last time. And yeah, it's different. Like I think ultimately, every time we go to do any sort of project, we learn something. And with this one, I think we learned that we prefer to work sort of quickly, more off the cuff, like operating a little bit more with a deadline, kind of under pressure a little bit. Because even though we had way less time, we did more than double the songs this time. And I know the record's only 12, but we just ended up with so much material and like really were able to have that perspective and like put together what we think is the best third record for us.
And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Wallows. It's when you get that many songs, and of course you have the album, and then a lot of times you'll have the deluxe edition or the bonus tracks or whatever. Like when you think about it, and I don't know if you do, and I don't even know if this is going to have that sort of release schedule, but for a lot of times you think of this group of songs as an album, and this is the beginning of the album and the end of the album, and then the bonus tracks comes out, which they're bonus to us, they're just still the same sessions to you all. But does that then change, like, does that change what how you mean for the album to be heard?
I'd say yes, because I feel like we definitely, this was the long, because we have more material than ever from the studio. The track listing process took us longer than ever. And it not even like it took forever, but like we just spent more time trying different versions and different sequencing and whatnot, sequences. And we ended up leaving off some of our best songs. And we definitely left off some songs that I think would be some of our fans' favorite songs. But I think we just wanted to make sure that the album, like the initial thing you hear, like what model is, like that is, it all makes sense together and is as concise and cohesive as it can possibly be. And I think that the songs that we, I mean, there's a lot we left off, but the ones that are also finished that we left off, all make sense together as well. So I feel like it makes sense the ones we left off, and I think we might do some sort of our fans will hear those songs, and I think that they'll be simultaneously upset that they weren't on the album, but also like they're I think that's good. I think you shouldn't have a deluxe or something unless
it's a batch of songs that make your fans upset that they weren't on the album. Otherwise, what's the point if you're just releasing like, it makes sense they weren't on it. I want it to make sense that they weren't on it, like in terms of like the feeling and sound, because you want the album to make sense and those songs to make sense. There's a reason they weren't there. But I also like, you need to make sure that, that it can upset some people. Be like, that should have gone on the thing. So, I think, up to the last minute, we were like, is it 12 songs? Is it 13? Is it this song versus this one? And we just wanted to make sure that like every song on the album didn't have another moment like it. So every song just has its moment and moves on to the next, I feel.
Yeah.
I mean, it was always, we used to call them B-sides. And those were always magical to me, especially like if you had a band that you loved, and especially when they still pressed, singles, the CD singles.
Yeah.
Like you'd go out. I mean, geez, I would, back in the day, I would spend $20 for a Japanese import of a single just to get the one song. And that would become my favorite song, it's those moments. Like, I don't know. I think what I'm getting at is I feel like those almost make me appreciate those songs more because you either had to wait for it or hunt for it, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I mean, what's funny is when we were younger, like in a different band name, we were kids, we would even cover B-sides of bands. Like we would cover like a couple Strokes B-sides because we thought that was cool.
Yeah.
Like nobody knows the song, so maybe they'll think it's ours. I definitely, there's a magic to it for sure. And it's fun to have ample songs that we're proud of to be able to keep this rollout going and show, our more of our creative output that we had going. But yeah, no, it's always, I used to love that too. I was cleaning out like my garage recently and I had tons of old like CD singles and I had tons of like Radiohead ones and Strokes ones and Kings of Leon ones, Arctic Monkeys ones, like so many. That's like the Juice Box single with whatever beat that is on it.
Hawaii, right? Oh, is it Hawaii or?
We used to be very privy to the beats.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I was thinking, when you said jukebox, I was like, oh, that's the one where, because he did the thing with Eddie Vedder with Mercy Me.
Is that what it is?
Okay.
That might have been the juice box. Yeah, I could be wrong, but we're close. We're around the same spot there.
Right. Also, like what Modern Girls Old Fashioned Men was one of those B sides.
Great song. Rhythm song.
Yeah,
such good song.
Yeah, good song. Yeah.
So, but as you move forward or whatever, this does find you at least heading back one way and teaming up with Congleton again. And again, I say, for fans, the idea of the relationship between band and producer is different in reality than it is a lot of time in the romance of it. You two and Brian Eno and Daniel Lanois, how we think about them. But at the same time, I mean, there's got to be a reason why you match up with some people more than others. Like, what is it about John? Like, why did you go back that way? And I don't want to make it sound like you went back some way. It's like, you're with John again.
Yeah, I feel like I'm trying to think how I can make this answer as complicated as possible. I think there's always like a camaraderie and like a common, there's like a common goal to making a new album with someone that you've already made music with, because we made our spring EP with him and then we made Nothing Happens with him, and you kind of know where you want to go, and where you haven't been. So I think with this album, we went to kind of just write some music with him before we even had the person that we wanted to make the album. We just wanted to go write with Congleton, and we had this really amazing long talk about the next album. And we were like, John, what do you envision for our next album? Like, I'm just curious if you had to say what you think. And he said exactly how we feel. And we're like, that's interesting. Okay. So we thought it would make sense to go with someone we're comfortable with. And he doesn't like bullshit anything. He's very like honest with his opinion. There's no like yes man energy at all, which I think is good for us. And it makes you honestly want to like throw a million ideas at the wall, because he's only gonna react to the good ones. You don't feel like nervous, like you have to censor yourself musically. You're like, no, let's just like whatever happens happens, and he'll tell you what he thinks good or not. There's like a common like respect and like understanding of where the band should go, and I think that's why we wanted to record this one with him.
And there, I'm such a fan of his production too, but also the sounds that he tends to get out of bands, like there are some great, I guess you'd say, post-punk moments on this album. Like I was thinking about the bass line of Anytime Always. Is that the name of the track?
That's right.
Yeah, like that bass line, like that's a serious like post-punk drive to me that's in there, which is not, I mean, we talk about the Strokes, sure, and they almost fit in that, but but that's not exactly a genre that I would think that you guys might be pulling from, or is it?
I mean, I think mostly no, but also why not? Like, sure. I think that choice for Anytime Always was a pretty like John inspired decision. Like, I think for that, we had trouble with that demo because it was this Frankenstein of like two ideas, like trying to be slammed together into one. And we ended up with this sort of like really long. And like when we played it for John, John was like, this is really confusing. Like, I don't really know what melody I'm supposed to latch on to. And like, I don't know how to like make sense of this. Like, it made sense to us because we were really intimate with the demos, but then him hearing it for the first time, he's like we need to like trim this up because it's crazy. And he brought up the Blondie cover of Hanging on the Telephone, right? Mm-hmm. Which like that song is just like straight like to the chorus in like 2 seconds. And so we were inspired by that and like just trimmed all the fat of the song and like don't bore us, like we went straight to the chorus for it. And
there it is.
Yeah. There yeah. That post-punk thing, I think that's John is definitely cut from that cloth, which is really cool. And yeah, I think that was just how that happened, right?
Yeah.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Wallows. Well, there's so many cool sounds throughout it. I mean, Canada has got that great mood. And that top line is perfect. That top line melody. I love that. And Going Under, I mean, Going Under. I was listening to that song and I was like, it's almost like if Tame Impala got together with Nick Cave. Or at least that's how I hear it, you know. And I think you could throw out probably 10 other references that would make sense in that. But to hear all of these different sounds and how they come together, I mean, it's just, I say it again, I know it's not a question, it's just really impressive.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
That's really awesome. Thank you. Appreciate that.
For you know, for a lot of the lyrics, I don't mean this to be an either or question, but is it an album of heartbreak or infatuation?
I guess it sort of ends up being both. I think it's I know that Braden's songs that he sings are kind of like, and the one that we share, A Warning. Like, there's some songs that lean, like, in a heartbreak direction for sure, but, like, at least, but then there's a lot of songs that I wrote the lyrics for that are definitely mostly involved with infatuation and like, being in love and falling in love. And, yeah, I think it definitely leans more on the, like, optimistic side of the record, especially with how where it ends up. Because Cole made a point recently where, like, side A is a bit colder in terms of a couple songs, but also in terms of like some lyrical content. And then side B, I feel like you really get somewhere it ends on like a very optimistic note. And I think like that also worked to the album's favor for what we were trying to achieve, because we wanted the album to sound more confident than ever for us, and a little stronger, a little more assured, precise. And I feel like the sort of optimistic and playful lyrics at times help that get that across, because our albums can be very shrouded in like, you know, insecurities and fear of growing up and things like that. And we wanted to kind of like strip that away as much as possible on this album, because I think we all feel like we're in probably the most assured state that we've been in. I feel like not only as individuals, but also as a band, I think we just feel like pretty not comfortable in like a lackadaisical way, just comfortable in like a, we're comfortable with who we are and where we stand right now and what's happening for us. We're very happy with where we're at. And I think we wanted to get that across when we're recording. So yeah, I think the lyrics for the most part reflect that.
Yes.
That's almost like the death of the death of rock and roll for a lot of bands, but it works in your favor. You made it work.
Yeah, there you go.
Did the impossible. Bad Dream. How does Bad Dream go from being a boy band homage to California psychedelia?
Wow. That is a great question. It goes from that when we wrote that song with this man named Rick Knowles, like just for fun. Like we just like went in to make a song and Cole and I started writing the song, and there was a bunch of NSYNC plaques on the wall because he wrote for like NSYNC. So we were just like looking at that, and I was like, I want to make a song like that for fun. And I love NSYNC and the melodies and all like the Max Martin lore and all that stuff. It's so fun. Because I just love how boy band melodies, every single part is catchy, the verse, the pre-chorus, everything has to be basically a chorus in its own right, you know? So that was inspiring. So that song had that kind of skeleton. And then obviously we're not going to make a 90s boy band sounding song, so you kind of have to put on a different hat, you know, change the outfit. And It landed on kind of, yeah, it reminds me of like Beach Boys kind of moody California thing, which I really like, actually. It actually makes the song not feel as cheesy as it could have been if we committed to the original idea. But, you know, it kind of tames it a little bit, like the lyrics, which I like a lot. And it actually makes it kind of sad or something to me, which is cool.
But it did go through different iterations over time. Like we've approached that song a couple different times. Even for our last album, Something That It's Over, we recorded a whole version with Ariel Rechtschei that album. And that version was really cool, but it felt like it was sort of fighting what the just songwriting of like what the song is. It felt like we were trying too hard to like make it cool or something and like make it like grittier. And even with this album with Model, the first version we recorded of Bad Dream was like a fuzzy, like kind of 70s, almost like T-Rex feeling like rock stomper version of the song, which is really cool. But then the label was sort of like, can you guys try it one more time? And we're like, ugh. And then we did it. We're like, oh, this version does like better.
It's better.
So the second version we recorded for the album, which is the last thing we recorded for the album overall, is the one that made the cut. But we did master and finish the other version too. So we'll find the right time to put that one out too. But it's very different. But it's cool.
I mean, cool. As a massive fan of T-Rex, I really need to hear this T-Rex version of this song.
Yeah. I think you'll know what I mean when you hear it. It's like, don't get that tune in your head, but you'll get it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. All right. I can't wait to hear that. And so I'm just looking down through here. I mean, she's an actress, which opens the door, of course, when you talk about acting in your all's world. Do you all ever take the chances? And I'm thinking, like, I wonder if anybody does this. I'm sure somebody does this. When that's another side of your world, do you ever take the chance to write from the position of any characters that you have played?
Whoa. No, definitely not. I think they're very far removed. Yeah, no, not yet. Who knows?
That's like it'd be an interesting thing to do. Like if you're looking for inspiration, at least from a different angle to get out of your, you know, get out of your own way. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know why more people wouldn't try that. I don't know. Maybe there's a reason why they don't try that. Maybe that's,
I mean, that's interesting.
Maybe, yeah, actually Your Apartment was written from the perspective of a character that I play named Iggy Thistlewhite in the NBC live action adaptation of The Year Without a Santa Claus. John Goodman is Santa Claus, and
I think
that was maybe where I wrote Your Apartment.
That's funny.
Now it's canon. Funny. Now you've said it. Now it's true.
Yeah, now you're the first to hear it. This is exclusive.
That's great.
I do. I love how all this works together. I love the visuals and the short film that you guys have done, and I just love this. In the covers, the couch, that you're doing, you know, in some of the videos too, like, especially like having been with bands that have toured and slept on these couches and in the vans, like this, the basements that you crash in, like there's something beautifully ugly, beautiful about this whole thing that you all have created.
Well,
thank you.
We've definitely encountered many a spooky couch on tour.
Yeah.
Like you don't know what happened, but it's always there to support you sitting on it. It's always there for you.
Well said. There couldn't have been better words to wrap up this interview. That's
Oh yeah.
No, congrats on it. Seriously, this record is so good. It's so great to have you guys back with new music. And thank you all so much for taking the time to talk about it. Seriously, it really is a pleasure.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, Kyle, thank you so much.
Listening and, you know, taking
so fun.
My thanks to Wallows, Dylan, Braden, and Cole. The latest album is called Model. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Please do hit that subscribe button before you get out of here so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out. 3 brand new ones every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And of course, give the show a rating and leave a review if you feel so inspired. And after that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Bob Dylan, Joni Mitchell, Cassandra Jenkins, Tom Waits, The Body Snatchers, Gabriel, Suki Waterhouse, Luna, David Bowie, The Rolling Stones, Zeppelin, The Who, Ani DeFranco, Death Cab for Cutie, Low Moon, Casey Musgraves, Leve, Sarah McLachlan, REM, Elixir Maestral, Moby, Garbage, Does It Offend You? Yeah, and my interview with writer Spike Ferriston, who co-wrote the movie Unfrosted with Jerry Seinfeld. He also comes from the world of Seinfeld, the television show. Just an example of what you can hear when you tune in every weeknight, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. Of course, you can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same, at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time. Consequence Podcast Network.
Hell yeah.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.